2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Hebrews. Many of these letters that were written was written against the way of man. It was worked for salvation. You have to do something for salvation that God has not just given to you. Now, man, from the very beginning, thought that what he did, what he does in this life, can break, either keep him in God's blessing and his mercy, not what he does, or keep him. What did Cain say to God? What did he do? What was Cain told by him? The ways of Cain in the book of Jude talks about. Jude 3, it says, content earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. The word faith there is not salvation. It's talking about the system of teaching. What did Cain do? It was Cain and Abel. Remember, they were two brothers. These were Adam and Eve's sons. What did Abel do? Do you remember what Abel did to Jessica? What did he do when he comes to God? What had God required that this could be done before they came to him? Love and contempt. Alright, that was a typifying one. Looking forward to the cross of Calvary, Jesus bled. Okay? Cain was a farmer in a tiller of the ground. Farming is hard work. You know that? Have you done gardens before? That's hard work. He went out and he worked hard. He worked. The man did. He worked. He worked hard in his garden and in his field. And he brought the serpent. He brought the fruit to the altar of God. He's going to make it right here. Good. What did Abel do? He was a cook. He was a person. What did he do? Okay, he brought forth an animal. And he killed it. And offered it up to God. God. Tomorrow or tonight I have to cook chicken. It's my pet. So he said, people say that we have a bloody religion. You know what it is, bloody religion? Even though we don't like blood. Have you ever killed an animal of genitals? Have you ever killed a rabbit or something? Yeah. Was it with that? No. Instead of doing something else. But something that you really like, you know, you go out here. The Indian people used to have a ceremony among my people, the Lakota. They would eat a dog. You just go out there and just grab somebody's dog. I mean, somebody offers his dog, and it's usually his. You know, dogs are, they say, man's best friend. Somebody in the tribe took his best friend dog and offered it up as a sacrifice to his God. Notice that the pipe is on it. Right here. They didn't know a lot. They did not have the scriptures. But God has done a lot of teaching among the Indian people. Because a lot of this stuff just was typical of this. They took something that they thought a lot of. Do you have a dog that you're involved with? If you would offer a sacrifice for the God, for the devil, you kill it. His eyes is gone for no more. Okay. Well, I'm sure that Abel thought the same thing. This was one of his flocks. And he took it and offered it to God. It wasn't so much that it was his body or something like that. His blood had to be shed. It had to die. Because why? Because Jesus was going to have to die for our sins. Not that we did. And Cain says, no animal's going to die for me. I can do it myself. I look at all the good stuff I did here. Now, I worked hard for this. Abel didn't go out there and work as hard raising that goat or sheep or whatever he brought as I did out here gathering up all this grain. That's what I did. Isn't that what the religious world always, man has thought, they said, look at me, God. Look how good I am. Look how much I'm doing for you. What does it say in the book of Revelation? He will say, in the last day, depart from me. I never knew you. You workers in history. What were they teaching? The ways of Cain. Go in the book of Jude down there. Over Jude is the last book in the, just the book before the last book in the Bible, right before the book of Revelation. It says in verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. For pay, they have rushed headlong into the era of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now these are all examples. Okay? But the ways of Cain is works for salvation. What does the book of Romans say? First of all, it tells us we're sinners. Now we're talking about basic Bible doctrine, contending for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Okay? One of the first things we talked about was God. Who is He? Well, He is God. We're not going to make Him small. He is omniscient. That means He knows everything. He's all-powerful. What does all-powerful mean, Jennifer? All-powerful. Do you know what all-powerful means? Have you got a little box or anything in your purse or your wallet or something? You got something in your container in there or anything? That's all I'm asking for. Do you have anything like that with you? No. You don't need to have a thing up there in the pocket here for a long time without coming up here and I was looking at it and just take like a dollar out of it. Take one of the books. And it's a little bit tiny thing about that long. If I can figure out what you think, you put some of those pills in there every time. Now, to me, on the power of it, if God takes the whole universe and all the stars and myself, hey, it's not. I mean, God is able to do it. He's able to do it. I mean, it wouldn't be hard for Him at all. To us, can we even fathom one of our dogs in a little thing like that? Or a little tiny kitty cat? How about a chicken out in the yard? We couldn't cram them around it. Let alone our automobiles or our houses. I'm talking about cramming all of the whole earth and everything on it. And all of the stars and all the galaxies into this little tiny bottle and put the lid on it. That's all your power. So we got all knowing, omnipowerful, and what about omnipresent? What does that mean? Here's what omnipresent means. What? Omnipresent. Okay, that's God. Now, God is so high, and we are so low. Romans says, Paul, writing to the churches of Rome, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right. All have sinned. The ways of man are evil. The ways of the flesh are evil. We talked about the best deeds that man could do last week here, or nothing is just filthy rags before God. That's right. That's it. And we talked about the total hereditary depravity of man. Now, what does that mean? Well, you're not going to find that term in the Bible, but you'll find it preached from cover to cover. What does total hereditary depravity mean? For all who sin to come short of the glory of God? Yes. Why? For as in Adam all sin. It's not the wrong thing. It's not the right thing. We're all the same boat. Now, as you go to school, every magazine that you pick up from now to the rest of your life is going to be preaching to you and evangelizing you with the doctrine of humanism. I guarantee you. And one of the doctrines of humanism today is take all the guns away from the people. Take all the knives away from them. Anything that they can do each other bodily harm with, remove it. And those guns are just looking to kill somebody. They got minds and all. I remember seeing that from the NRA. It says a gun never killed anybody. Somebody's got people. And it says, disarm all the nations in the world. This is humanism speaking. I'm up for war and for all those things. But, you know, if you took everything away from a person, have you ever gotten a fight? You never been in a fight in your life? Thank goodness. How about you, Jennifer? Have you ever got a fight with one of your brothers, your sisters, or your
sisters?
Oh, I mean a real hard fight. I mean, you were mad at each other and you were biting and kicking and scratching, things like that. I was just going to go almost every day with this. Ted, did you ever get in the fight?
No.
Well, you know, when you're fighting, you don't want to get beat up so you fight back. That's basically the thing. You don't want to get hurt, so you fight back, okay? Well, anyway. If you took all the knives, all the guns, all the matches, that's just like they say that people are only bad because they're told they're bad. I'll tell you what, people are bad because they're born bad. David says, I went from my mother's womb speaking lies, and little children do. My little girl, I love her, little Dakota, but that little kid is evil. I mean, she is a damage. I can guarantee you. She has the Adamic nature down there, and I didn't have to teach her any of this stuff. It's there. It's in her bloodstream and programmed in her little mind. It is that. You know why? It's the Adamic nature of mankind, total hereditary depravity. And no matter what you tell a kid, if you told your little kid, if I told Dakota, nothing that she did wrong with this, good girl, good girl, good girl. The last thing I did, I was going to the bathroom, combing my hair, brushing my teeth. If there was nothing in the bathroom, she's dancing around in the water with the bathtub. She's dancing, I'm going to take a bath, Dad. I'm a good girl. I'm going to take a bath, Dad. You know, like this. What if I told her that she was a little angel all of her life? That she grew up in this school? $2 million bucks or something like that. You can go out here and catch what I was saying. And you know what? You can take it, you can put it in the house, let it sleep in the bed, move the airplane down. But you know what? They don't want to be around it. You can take it a stone. And you can take kitty cat and write a kind of big thing around his mouth. And just let it run around the thing because I'm a kitty cat. And you want that children to come. But the world says the environment is what makes the man like he is. The Bible says man makes his environment like he is. You can go out, like I said, I've told this 2 or 3 times, but I was so appalled at it. About 10 years ago, I drove down Cottonwood Road in Bakersfield, and it was brand building, brand new government buildings. Brand new ones. Building them well, putting insulation in them. Like I couldn't afford to put my own home. Beautiful doors and windows and things in these things. Big, beautiful apartments for the underprivileged. I went back there the other day. I had to drive down to that same place the other day to go get some boxes. I was getting some boxes to make chicken boxes. I drove by there and they were, you know, those people have moved into those brand new apartments and made them slums. Slums don't cause themselves.
people are slummy. That's right. They are slums themselves. They call them slums. That is the Bible doctrine of total hereditary depravity. You take all the guns away from people, and they're still going to kill each other. They have to go out and bite them and claw them and beat them to death with their fists. They say in China or in Japan, very few murders are committed over there with a gun. But you know what? They don't have any guns. Well, they chop their heads off with samurai swords and stuff, and karate. They don't use the type of weapons they do in this country. That is a deterrent to crime. It absolutely is. It always has been. It has been since God created man. Penalty is the deterrent to crime. If you take somebody out here and go to kill somebody and turn them loose on the street, they're just going to go kill somebody else because they didn't get punished for it. They got to watch the color television while they were in jail. They got all the food they wanted to eat. They had blankets on their bed. They had a bed to sleep in and everything else. So why in the world is that, why are they going to be stopped when they get out? We have God in us. There's a little God in all of us. Now that's your leader. There's a little Satan with all of us. That's what they ought to think. The best man that ever walked on the face of this earth is evil, God said. Did you know that? The best works of man without faith is evil. And where does faith come from? Faith without works is dead, or works without faith is dead, that is. Faith comes from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Anything you do outside of faith is sin. Did you know that? Hey, you figure that one out. That's the hard one. Anything you do outside of faith is sin. Did you know that every time you go to bed at night, you sin? When you eat, when you drink, everything you do, you sin, you don't do the same. That's hard to do. I mean, there's nothing. Well, that's what the word says. Everything we do outside of faith, outside of being a believer, is sin. The best works of man. Jesus went to the religious people in his time. Thomas proclaimed, you know. He went to the best religious people, the most righteous looking people in his time, and told them they were a bunch of den of vipers. How many of you have ever seen a den of snakes? Jennifer, have you ever been up here on the hills and dug a hole? And run into a den of snakes and get your ass and crawl out of the room? They didn't like it. Jesus said they're like a den of vipers. John called them a herd, a brood of vipers. Of course, he was referring to Satan. You people are born of Satan, is what he said. And these people are religious. But they live without faith in God. They live the religion of Cain. See? They were Cainites, so to speak. And every religion in the world today that preaches works for salvation is the religion of Cain. Works for salvation. It all hinges upon total hereditary depravity. Man has no works. I told you so many times in the Word of God that God saves your soul forever. That is plain teaching of Scripture. Now, you don't care about what you do with yourself after you're saved. God will bring a reward for it if you do it according to His Word. According to His Word. You're not going to get on the job unless you go to get on the payroll. You've got to be on the right payroll. All right? What else?
What else? What other great Bible doctrines are there? We cover the doctrine of God,
total hereditary depravity, and in that is the worthlessness of man and the highness of God, his righteousness. And God reaches down and touches man with that righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses him from all sin, by some of it, all of it. You are never going to be sinless after you're saved until you walk into the presence of God. There again is total hereditary depravity. That's the difference between living sinless and realizing that only God is sinless. Now, that doesn't mean you have a license to sin either. I'm not talking about that. You don't have a license to sin. If you go out and sin after you're saved, you're going to be whipped. As simple as that. And I'll tell you what, the whippings don't stop either. They just keep on coming. The salvation is of God, and that is one of the basic doctrines of the Bible.
Remember one time I was teaching
at a church founded school. It was a Christian college. That church was founded by a bunch of Baptists down in Southern California in 1921, I think. And the founding people that went together and founded that church said that they had a statement of faith, what they believed in. They believed in the deity of Christ. They believed in the infallibility of the Bible. They believed that and all the basic doctrines, total hereditary depravity of man, and so on and so forth, had a long line of them. Then they said, if this assembly of people ever departs from what we have set down here as a basic rule of faith and practice, if there is one person left in this assembly 50 years from now, 100 years from now, that believes these doctrines, he will be considered the majority in the assembly. And he will be the church. If one person believes that, now brother, you know, those people have the idea of contending for the faith and once and for all believe the same. They did not want to put their monies and things into something that was going to go off into heresy. And they tried to make all the safeguards that they could make at that time. And they weren't doing it for themselves. They were doing it for the name of God and for the support of God. They said, if ever, this church departs from the faith, if there is one person, two persons, three persons in this assembly that believe these doctrines, they are the assembly. They will be considered by us to be the real church. No matter how many people vote against them, they will be in the majority. That's something else. That's what you call forethought. I've thought about that lots and lots of times. It was called the Glory of Gardens Missionary Baptist Church at that time in Belfar, California. But they wanted to make sure that the efforts that they want to do. That what those people have dedicated to God would stay here. They will always be here. And to be doctrinally sound,
Jude thought doctrinal soundness was important back then. We should do the same thing today. That was, you know, about 65 to 67, 68 A.D.
That's 1,900 years ago. Well, no blessings to be ours today. They had a false faith then. They had the Judaizers. What did Judaizers teach? Well, let's look and see what a Judaizer did, okay? We have Judaizers that Paul spoke of against in the book of Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians, and basically, the book of Hebrews was written to these Judaizers. He looked at the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews a while back, and he said, just get away. We're not talking about salvation now. He said, let's get rid of that. Let's lay that aside now. We're going to look at this. He said, you either, God is not going to come back and die for you again. You already do it. You will never be the foremost again.
They wanted to be the big shots.
They wanted to have their own club. They didn't want to join the club. They wanted to have their own. They didn't want to join the assembly. They wanted to be the assembly. Who ever wrote the book of Hebrews says, no, you already did. You already crucified the God of heaven. You're not going to be coming back and be crucified again for you. No, what? You already did. You already set aside. He turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. They wanted still, they wanted, what do they want people to do, Eddie? Was it harmful for people to keep the law of Moses?
Works for salvation. The way of Cain is what they were trying to teach. The way of Cain. Is keeping the law wrong?
It does, but it's wrong. If that's how you intend to say that way, according to them, it's wrong. And what did Paul call it? What did James call it? What they call it? Doctrines of demons. The teachings of devils. Boy. Hard words, huh? Well, let's look at some of the law, okay? Look at it now. Thou shalt not eat an animal that doesn't chew its cud and doesn't have a clothing on. Now, maybe an animal that doesn't chew its cud and have a clothing on. Peace, more or less. What's one of the things that you won't eat? Huh? A horse. How many of you ever eat horses? You think it's going to send you to hell? How many of you ever eat Satan? According to the law of Moses, you're going to go to hell. A Jew would tell you that. Right? Because you broke the law of Moses. All right. Is that a horrible thing to do to eat a pig? You know what God told them not to do it back then? You know, he knew science. God knows science. He could see those little trickery in them, in their flesh. We couldn't see it. We didn't know what was wrong with a hog, why we shouldn't eat a hog until this century. They didn't have microscopes good enough to see that in the flesh of a hog, there is what they call a trickery. It's a little worm in the muscle tissue. And when you eat that hog, if it's not done real well, you get it in your muscle tissue. It goes out of your body, and it's in it, makes you unhealthy. Now they have bred them in such a way and fed them that you don't get that. But still, wild hog, you can get sick of them. God wanted his people to be healthy. He just told them not to do that. Wouldn't send them to hell if they ate it, but they sure would be a lot more comfortable if they did. Or how about keeping the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? What day of the week is it? What? Saturday. Sabbath is what? The seventh day. The seventh day is Saturday. Is there anything wrong with staying home on Saturday and praying? Then at all? But a lot of people have to work on Saturday. Now, to keep the law of Moses, they work on Saturday, and all they do is if you work on Saturday, you don't get summer. Right? You know, there just wasn't much forgiveness back then. It's either you do or you die. Yeah, it's nice to rest. Basically, I rested today. I went out there and stuff, and I rested a lot today because I was tired. I'd sit around and go out and play and work and dig ditches and dig holes and wrestle things all day. I rested because that. My body needed a day of rest. I've been going too hard. And there wasn't anything wrong with me resting today.
for your body for the rest of 24 minutes. Well, I was thinking double law, that's what happened to the body. That's what we could possibly have done for.
We didn't apply any of these others. But how much of it's the law? Is it is not keeping the Sabbath and all these other things? That's the law too, isn't it?
It's as much as thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not envy your neighbor's car.
Did you know that?
You shouldn't go to your neighbor's house and envy his car.
When you do that, you know what?
You shouldn't go into your neighbor's house and envy his wife or her husband. Because when you do, you have sin. Is this what it says you to have?
But it's definitely.
But those Judaizers have said that you have to follow all of these things.
And if you don't do this, even if you're saved, you don't have faith.
What else? What's some of the other laws? You shall not boil a calf in his mother's milk. Did you know that? Yes. You know the Jews will not drink milk and eat meat at the same meal? Did you know that?
No way. They all do.
You shall not eat the blood of an animal.
First of all, let's go back to the boil of the calf in his mother's milk. The pagans had a ritual wherein they would take a killing calf and they would boil its flesh in its mother's milk and eat it. And this was a sacrificial feast. It was a pagan feast. And God said, I want you to act like this pagan sorcerer. Somebody would accuse you of being a pagan to do it. That was the reason for that law. Alright? What can I just say now?
That's the second point now.
Go back to it. Will not eat a calf in his mother's milk and water. That's another rule of law. Do you think of any other law?
What? Now, these are rule of law. They were requiring this of those Christians, the Jews.
If you have to do this, not unless they say it, whatever.
Ted?
That didn't have anything to do with the law, was it? That was a tradition. That was a tradition. That was a doctrine of man. It didn't have anything to do with the Bible.
And they also walked through the field on the Sabbath, and they took some corn. Actually, it was corn and wheat, and they rubbed their hands and they ate it because they were hungry. The law provided that a man could go into his neighbor's field if he's hungry and get something to eat. You could go into your neighbor's orchard and get a pear or an apple and eat it. And there's nothing that would be seen.
The law provides for that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
But what way?
So what is Paul teaching? All of the law was good. It's fine. He was good for us. He wasn't your enemy so much.
What God was doing, what God was requiring of it, a lot of it was just good for you.
Okay?
But you're set free from it. You're free. More by grace I was saved, through faith, even in faith. I'm more than free. It's a God. Do the love of Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is.
The way to pain, mankind just thinks he's good. All the world out here just thinks that they can get together and make a one world order.
You know, that's what the book of Revelation talks about, this one world order.
There's only going to be one way, according to the world, to worship God.
It's going to be their way. If you don't go that way, they're going to kill you.
Matter of fact, they're going to go further than that. If you don't join the state church, you know, Baptists have fought all the way through the dark ages back to Christ against a state-owned religion. Church-state.
keep us separate. That was one of the founding things of this country. Do you know that? The church and the state would be separate. One would not have anything to do with the other. The church, the state, would not have anything to do with spiritual matters. You know what? You got it. Well, that's what they found, and guess where it came from? From the Bible. Now, in those ages, they taught us. They died for us. They not only taught us, they died for us. You know, we can talk about a lot of things today, but we don't shed our blood much for our religion, do we? How much of your blood did you shed today for your religion yesterday? Well, I mean, does anybody kill you because you're a Christian? Anybody cut one of your fingers off so you go home and they can't do it? What? Well, back then, they had to give their life for what they believed. That is the supposed talk. Then, a person should be knowledgeable. In other words, you can't have a religion without talking. They do not believe in that kind of invention. They could have. Huh? That's all it's talking. I've said it many, many times. I've seen people that said they made a good Baptist. Well, you know, when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, you can't even believe you're Christian unless you believe that Bible. So those are Bible doctrines. Those are fastest Bible doctrines. It means something. We say that, and we shouldn't flaunt the names unless I have something. Bible. This is Bible teaching. And when somebody names that name, for me, they ought to be one. Because a lot of people name it. They wear it. They are. They are. They don't believe those doctrines. Contending for the faith that faith was the one that can draw delivered to the saints. That's important. Not so much to be dogmatic and be hard-headed and not giving in this world, because there is nothing out there already, but for the Word of God. What do you do when you compromise the Word of God? When you compromise something, what do you do to it? That's right. You use it or you can't. That's right. You have made it. How much heresy does it take to make something invalid? To become a traitor to the Word of God. How much strychnine is it? How much strychnine does it take to poison a glass of water? That's right. That's what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the parables. He said a woman took a little leaven and hid it in the loaf, and pretty soon the whole loaf was leavened. What's he talking about? Huh? And pretty soon, if you just put up with it, and you just let it go, you don't contend for it, the truth, what happens? Do you think there's going to be churches here during the tribulation period? On this earth? Yeah, humanistic churches. The things that we're trying to fight. I remember that brother over in Silver Peak came in here and somebody got up here and gave a talk about this Nevada 2000 or something. Brother, that is heresy. That is humanism, what we're talking about. We're fighting this today, or we should be fighting it. We shouldn't really be going along with it. We should not have anything to do with it. But this is the doctrine of the Antichrist, the doctrine of the one world government. People, lost people, they can even see the fallacy
You know, I call this to people, I talk to people all over the world on family.
And everybody, this deal about O.J. Simpson down there in Southern California, justice can be bought and sold. Why, it can't. Do you think that's unusual just because one rich man down there got off of killing somebody? Here a while back, they had a murder trial over here in Goldfield. A woman had killed and murdered her husband. One of the prospective jurors went over there and they asked him why he shouldn't be part of the jury or why he should be part of the jury. He said, I don't believe in this system. He said, I believe justice is bought and sold in this country and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And he left, and by the way, boy, that's too bad. He supported a real high-class lawyer, had plenty of money, and relatives in my place. I tell you what, any place you go in this whole country, I don't care how small it is, justice is bought and sold. And in prison, you think people are living painful out there? You think there's a deterrent to crime out there? How about this anti-gun law? What they call the gun law, the confiscation of guns. What do you think that is? Disarmament of the whole world. You think they're ever going to do that? But don't that sound flowery and good? Here in World War I, they started the United Nations. Disarmed the world. Will they ever have another war? This is World War I. This is 1917. Right after that, they started the United Nations. Will never have another war? What? Well, let's see, a deterrent to conflict. In reality, but what does the humanist say? Don't do that. Nobody has guns. It's a gun to it. It's a knife to it. If there weren't any more matches, there would be never any more hunting. Did you know that? That two people, if a person had to run 2 sticks to go and start a fire, they would. They want to burn something down. You cannot convert people by taking their own reward from them. It doesn't do one, makes them good. The only way that you're going to make a peacemaker out of the person is who's a peacemaker. Jesus Christ, that's not cold. That's not cold. That's not Samuel cold. The only way you can ever make a peacemaker out of it is introducing to the prince. That's the only one.
What other Bible doctrines? What other Bible doctrines do we need to contend for?
We go back. Oh, it's a chart up here so you can see what's going on with history. God dealt with man in different ways and different times, didn't he? The Bible teaches that earth is going to become so bad. So bad. And there's going to be a Jewish Antichrist stand up, and he's going to lead the whole world in what he calls righteousness. He's going to turn on the whole world, and especially on the nation of Israel. And at the end of this, that Jesus is going to straighten it all out. He's going to win. Now, in religious circles, do you think Baptist and Peace Church keep heresy in? One of the things that church put down there that we believe and the imminent return of Jesus Christ and his premillennial return of Christ, what does that mean? That he was going to come before the millennium. Some people thought that good is going to get so spread among mankind that if we get the word out to them, the whole world is going to be converted to Christ and we're going to bring in the kingdom.
No, no, that was the teaching. Matter of fact, yes, yes it is. But they were going to bypass the tribulation period. Because they believed in the good of man. That men were going to get so good. If we get enough people saved, then there would be enough influence in the world to just say, Lord, here we got the world converted. Come on back and take over. People thought that way. Name names of the Southern Baptist Convention taught that. They said, if you give us so many $1 million, we'll convert the world to Christ. We'll bring it in. They finally got away from that after World War II. Do you know that? This was between World War I and World War II. We talked about the United Nations and America. These people were all behind that. They believed that they were going to win the world for Christ. They were just going to make this one beautiful paradise again, and the Lord just had to come down here and live with us. But what did the Bible teach? The Bible teach that? The Bible teach says in the last day things are going to get so bad. You don't believe it. It's going to be worse than anything ever happened in the history of the world. Now to believe that doctrine that I just told, you have to throw away the Word of God, didn't you? You have to ignore it. Well, these are good ideals, aren't they? But what kind of ideals are they? Humanism. Humanism. Finally, after World War II, they departed from that heresy, most of them anyway. Some people out there still believe that, but it's baloney today. They do. There's people out there today trying to convert the world for Christ. There's nothing wrong with converting the world for Christ. Nothing wrong with it. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they're not going to do it. The Bible says they aren't. That's pretty bad. It's not going to happen.
That tribulation is coming. The rapture is coming. Thank God for the rapture. What do you ever think about your old,
Jessica and Jennifer, you girls are beautiful and you are young and you're just blooming and blossoming, getting prettier every day. That's the way God made us. He makes you do that. That's what you can get so far.
And look, young men, they're the same way. They get more handsome every day. That's what some girl will want them.
But you know what? You get old, too. Well, Betty, she had to be a beautiful woman at one time. You know, she's 80-something years old. I can look at her and I can say, oh, it must be a beautiful woman like Jennifer. Back in 1945, she looked like that. But you get old, you know what? I told you a while back that the girls were just falling down when I walked by. Oh, I didn't even know. But they did, boy, they just. Girls are just so. I couldn't believe it. I mean, really. I had no idea about any of that. But I guess I was pretty about that. So look at this ugly old money now. I don't know what I bought. Nothing pretty here anymore. Write it out. You know, flower is very beautiful when it comes from the cross. Remember that. That's the way man is. That's the way man is. I've looked at this, I've taught this so many years, so many times, and I've seen so many young, beautiful girls grow up and then they grow old. Just like everybody else. They get kids, they get fat, they get ugly, you know. But when you love someone, they don't get fat. They don't really need to love them. But they do. People do. You have a time in your life, and then you go the other way. You come in this world a bald-headed little old super thing and you go out that way if you look like that. Make a little bald-headed. Well, you have a brain left when you get old. It fades too.
Mine has faded terribly.
I'm young. It's listed by the part of my life. God walked into that office here a while ago, a few years ago. I spoiled off your office work and all of it. It gets worse over there. People are jealous.
He said, that's why everybody's 78 years old. I said, wait a minute, I'm 30-something years old. This is a long time ago, you know. I said, well, he said, Jim, he said, 150 years ago when people lived like you did and worked hard like you did, when they were 38 and 40 years old, they were like 70-year-old people now. You have to realize that. You work hard. You wore your body out. God's not going to give you a new one. We can only fix so much of it. I'm looking for the rapture. Oh, I guarantee I'll get a new one. Because, not because of what I say, but because of what say for me. Why? Because I believe in His Son. And I call upon Him to save my soul and forgive me of my sins. That's the only reason. Not what I do, not because I teach, not because I do anything. Not because I'm a good mom or a daddy or a husband or anything like that. That's nothing to do. It's because of what Jesus did for me. He heals me for the last time. That's all I do. That's nothing to do with what you want to do. That's the only thing that's going to guarantee you your life. Because you're going to live forever, you know what? One or two places. It's heaven. Or the Satan is in God. And that's the Son of God. Man is eternal. That's another matter. Man is eternal. You are not going to turn into dust and go away and don't let anyone know about you. You are eternal. You're going to be eternal. You're going to live forever in one or two places. Good God or way of God.